The following hour is brought to you by Midas Resources, your trusted source for precious metals. Call Midas today at 1-800-686-2237.
We have stopped every outbreak of Ebola until the current one in West Africa. There's zero doubt in my mind that barring a mutation which changes it, which we don't think is likely, there will not be a large outbreak in the U.S.
That's Dr. Tom Frieden talking about Ebola, not thinking there's going to be a big outbreak in the U.S. What do you say, America? That's the head of the CDC. Boy, we've come a long way, or we haven't come a long way when it comes to Ebola, but certainly on the path to who's going where and who's zooming who. We have schools closed in Ohio, schools closed in Texas. We have 100 healthcare workers in this country who have been told, just stay home. Although they've been working up until this point, so for whatever good that does. There are crew members from the plane where one of the nurses flew. After she called the CDC, told them she had a little bit of a fever and nobody said anything, she went away to Ohio from Dallas. The crew on that plane, they're getting paid leave for 21 days. Basically, the airline saying they don't want to risk that they have Ebola. And that's the problem. The nurse might have had symptoms earlier, so they can't take any chances with that. There's actual conversation about an Ebola czar. We don't have a surgeon general. There's no go-to person, if you will. It might be time for an Ebola czar is what the word is coming out of Washington. On the Hill, there's a lot of conversation about Ebola. There were a lot of meetings about what's going on with Ebola. There's a clamoring for a travel ban and arguments that the United States should be able to track international passengers from the origins of their flight, which we can't do, which makes a huge, huge problem. I think is a huge, huge problem. There was a House committee hearing that I mentioned briefly where Dr. Tom Frieden, who is the director for the CDC, testified, where he also met with the president in the Oval Office along with a Homeland Security advisor and pointed to the two of them as the leaders of the response to Ebola. So while there are calls for Frieden to step aside, the president says he's done an outstanding job and he's going to be responsible along with the Homeland Security advisor. Her name is Lisa Monaco. So it's those two. Maybe he'll make Tom Frieden Ebola czar. I don't know if that happens, if they do that. I don't understand not stopping the flights. If Tom Frieden is the guy advising that, that makes no sense to me. I just don't get it. I mean, I don't understand why temporarily, if 40 other countries are doing it, why don't you just do the same thing? That way you don't risk somebody getting out of Liberia or one of those other countries knowing they may have Ebola and infecting people on a flight, or the people that they come and stay with once they're in the United States, friends, family, or whomever. And I don't understand that. Now, there's one Republican, and maybe even a few more, the congressman from Louisiana, Scalise, who's saying you ought to look, Steve Scalise, who's saying you ought to look at least immediately suspending visas for non-U.S. nationals. But Tom Frieden, the head of the CDC, is a flat-out travel ban is not the way to go. It's not effective. It's less effective than other steps the United States has already taken. Whew. He better hope that he's gambling the right way. Because I got to tell you, while the president says he feels like he's doing a great job, he's exactly the person I would pink slip. Because I don't think he's doing a good job. To have to say that they didn't aggressively help the people in Dallas at the Dallas Hospital makes absolutely no sense to me whatsoever. I mean, why wouldn't you have been all over this? You have one case. That one case, there's no speculation. There's no anything. There's informing the people. I don't think he's demonstrated that he is capable of that. I mean, he didn't even seem to be fully engaged and aware that Emory had a couple of different treatments that they used in isolation. I mean, is that, you know what it is? It's an out-of-the-loop feeling. That's what it is. To me, he seems like he's out of the loop. The whole containing everything, the hazardous materials, all that. He seems out of the loop on that. We could have been a little more aggressive. Are you kidding me? The protocol breach thing, and he was the one who blamed breach and protocol on Sunday for the second infected nurse. But they never had any infrastructure or protocols or told them how to train. There was no training. So I don't think they effectively handled how to dispose of the medical waste, how to deal with a patient with Ebola in the first place. The fact that you have now, they're saying, almost 100 healthcare workers involved in Duncan's care shows that they weren't ready and on the ball and knew what to do. Hospitals who have a plan would limit the amount of staff that would come in contact with a guy like Duncan. They didn't do that whatsoever. So the sicker the person becomes and more contagious, they're transferring them, like Amber Vincent. She went to Emory. I think that's pretty much saying we're not ready for this. There's your red flag. And then even the first nurse, same thing. They're not ready for this. Instead, they have to go to Emory, and instead they have to go to Maryland to make sure the isolation is correct, because we have four hospitals that have great isolation units in dealing with something like Ebola. So you have two nurses in two different places. Wow. And it's interesting, too, some of the other hospitals that are saying they had a call saying what you would need to do now, of course, telling hospitals if you had Ebola, here's what you would do. And there was somebody on one of the calls that said, if we implement what they're talking about, we would be bankrupt. That's like a thing they need to know. How much money is this costing the hospital or the city? And they're telling you they can't afford it. I think the CDC is playing catch up. They're guilty of playing catch up for far too long. And they didn't have enough people on the ground in the first place. So if you have a fear over Ebola, I think you can put things in perspective, but I think when you see that the CDC does not have a handle on this, that the hospital in Dallas didn't have a handle on it, that there really wasn't any protocols in place, it doesn't give you a warm and fuzzy feeling that should you get Ebola, you're going to be okay. I don't think so. The one thing Frieden did is he did take responsibility for the lack of preparedness, thank goodness. He says he's lagged on treatment, protective gear, and waste disposal in that effort in Africa. Ugh, not a leader. Should definitely not be the Ebola czar. But the president likes him. Who knows? Kate Delaney, America Tonight. Stay with us, everybody. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. cases, but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Gold isn't for you? Ted Anderson, president of Midas Resources, one of the world's premier gold and precious metal investing firms.
I get it.
You wouldn't buy gold if you believed that the government is doing a great job, that the Fed will stop handing out trillions of dollars like bailout candy, that Social Security would be there for you. That's not what's happening. You might even pass on gold if the stimulus package wouldn't fuel inflation, or that the dollar wouldn't lose value, or that your retirement would be secure. If all looks rosy to you, then now is not the time to buy gold. For the realists, there have never been more sobering reasons to diversify with gold. Since 2001, the U.S. dollar index has tanked 30%, while gold has risen 300%. Right now, savvy investors are adding gold to their portfolios. You should, too. Find out what they know. Call us, and I'll send you 10 reasons why gold will do very well, free. 800-686-2237. 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
So we decided to upgrade the look of our home.
You know, improve the curb appeal.
We decided to add the look of stone to the exterior.
We really like the stacked stone look.
Yeah, but when I checked into the price, it was ridiculous. No way could we afford it.
Then a friend told me about Genstone. G-E-N-S-T-O-N-E.
Genstone comes in lightweight panels made of polyurethane. They've actually engineered the hassle out of installation. No mortar, no mesh. It was easy. Even I could do it.
We just screwed the panels to the wall and it looks like stone. I mean, it really looks like stone.
Yeah, from the box to the wall in minutes.
We love the look of our home now.
And Genstone is durable, comes with a 25-year warranty, and offers additional R-value for insulation.
If you want the look of stone at a price you can afford, call Genstone.
At 855-955-STONE.
Trust me, you'll save money.
And you'll love the look.
855-955-STONE. That's 855-955-7866.
All right, you certainly know him as Mr. Burns, Smithers, Ned Flanders, and, of course, a stable of other characters. Simpsons, baby, you know, just picked up an Emmy this year. There's no doubt Harry Shearer, who now is going to embody and has done that, put this together. Nixon's the one that you can catch on my damn channel, man. Unbelievable stuff. Harry, thanks so much for coming on America Tonight.
My pleasure. Thank you.
So, first of all, I mentioned the Emmy. Was it great to get a chunk of that hardware after all that all those years with The Simpsons?
Well, I haven't actually received the hardware yet. I've received the notice that it's coming, so I haven't yet put my hands on the lady with the thing. But, you know, after 26 years of doing the job, maybe you get good at it.
Yeah, maybe, huh?
What did
you think of that Simpsons marathon? Man, that was pumped up everywhere. A lot of people were watching it.
I know. I'm always amazed by the degree to which this show continues to motivate fanship and viewership. It's just, you know, I think I'm not the only one who's amazed by it or delighted by it. It's remarkable. I don't think we've seen anything like it in the history of television.
Yeah, when you first, you know, you said 26 years ago, when you first embarked on that and you did your first character, did you ever have any idea that this would just keep going on and on the way it has?
Well, let's face facts. When we started, we were on the Fox network, which at the time was on UHF stations. I don't know if you remember that.
Yeah.
And you had to use a coat hanger as an antenna because your regular TV antenna couldn't pick it up. So forget about The Simpsons. We didn't think the network was going to stick around. You know, it was probably us and NFL football that put the network firmly on the lower channels. So no, nobody expects this kind of success. If they do, they're dreaming, literally.
Yeah. Yeah. When you started doing the voices, it's tough because you do so many, but is there one that's your favorite? Do you just love doing?
Steve Montgomery Burns.
Oh, yeah.
You just have to love a guy who's pure evil and doesn't bother to hide it, you know? Because somebody of the really evil people just try to hide, are too good at hiding it. We find out too late, you know?
Yeah, no kidding. And so you understand all about the voices, obviously, with your background. And do you think there's something about, because you do things in front of the camera and, and have done film and everything else, but is there something about strengthening that, you know, the vocal cord and doing the voiceover stuff?
Well, I mean, my wife is a singer, and her dad was an opera singer, and she taught me his vocal exercises that he would do every morning. So, knock on wood, since I started doing that, you know, my voice has felt pretty much invulnerable. And then I did a play in London for almost the last 2 years, parts of the last 2 years, which is a very different way of using your voice. And much as with singing, I would wake up, I would sort of apprehensive going into it, and I found I would wake up every morning the same way I would on a, when I was doing a singing tour, and I just couldn't believe how strong my voice felt. So, you know, using it in the right way, it's like, I guess, any other muscle. Using it in the right way makes it stronger.
Yeah. So Nixon's the One really premiering on October 21st. You sat down with the historian Stanley Cutler, and you had to comb through thousands of hours, basically, right, of the audio tapes. What was that like?
Well, Stanley had been the sort of the primary historian of the tapes. He was the guy who filed the lawsuit to make the tapes public in the first place, because they were made on government tape machines with government tape, so I think we'd paid for them. And we knew a lot of this material, but it was an arduous kind of fun. They're not easy to listen to. They were very badly recorded, so you have to listen very carefully to pick up what's being said. But they're amazing. You know, what we were looking at was not the stuff that's been gone over about Watergate or Vietnam or something, but we both knew that there were these amazingly funny, strange, creepy, spooky, bizarre conversations that went on in that, and that are on tape. And so my idea was, let's make a show, sort of a comedy show, about those conversations, using those conversations word for word, shooting it as if Nixon had hidden cameras in the White House as well as microphones. And it was on the air in England earlier this year and got really nice reviews, I'm happy to say. And for the United States, we're putting it on actually on YouTube. The My Damn Channel section is feeding it to YouTube. So it'll be on YouTube. All you have to do is go to YouTube starting Tuesday and see the first episode, and then every week we'll roll out another episode. Each one sort of focusing after the first, which is sort of the introductory episode, each one after that focuses on a different theme that would obsess Nixon, because he was obsessed with a lot of different things. And it's funny, and it's strange, and it's spooky, and it's weird, and it's all sorts of things. But it was huge fun to play him. 4 hours a day of makeup, so I know how certain grand dames in show business must feel. But it was an amazing experience.
Did you go back and look at Frank Langelico or anyone else's portrayal of Nixon?
No, I was paying attention to Nixon, not to anybody else's idea of Nixon. Because I'd watched him and listened to him, and I'd done him in a comedy group when he was president, I had my own idea of who he was and how he sounded and how he looked. So I was really depending on my own sense of who this guy was, my own powers of observation. I wasn't interested in anybody else's observation of him. In fact, there were things that I noticed about Nixon physically in his behavior that I thought nobody else had ever captured. He was a guy who used to talk a lot about strength and the manly virtues, and we don't want to be soft. And then you see him in action, and a lot of his gestures are very almost delicate and kind of fluttery. I mean, when he, even at the end, when he's like standing in the helicopter about to leave Washington for the last time because he's resigned the presidency, he gives a salute, and it's not a crisp military salute. It starts at his forehead, and then it's like a butterfly is like going taken over his hand and fluttered off to find a mate. He would flutter his eyelashes a lot. There were all these gestures that were telling me something else is going on here that I'd never seen in anybody else's portrayal of him. So I was determined to get that side of his physicality into the show. So no, I was focusing on what I'd observed.
Yeah, and you said you got great reviews, nice reviews.
Yeah.
In England, when the work comes out, and then you go back and you look at, well, what we'll just call the dailies for now, is it wild to look back at that after all that prep?
What do you mean, to look at the reviews?
Yeah.
You know, Reviews are nice. They're basically nice because they help you get attention for the show and help, for example, when you're coming, the show played in England first and now we're coming to the United States, it's nice to be able to say, well, look at what the Times of London said. You know, I don't have to pat myself on the back. Somebody else does the work for me. That's really the value of them, is that to say to people, okay, don't believe me. Believe these people. They watch a lot of TV. It's much nicer, of course, in that basic human way than if they say, this sucks, we hate this, don't ever do this again. That's just sort of primal, you know?
But everybody says, Harry, they don't read the reviews, right?
I don't read them. I hear about them. But, I mean, you know, you have people who read them and tell you, oh, no, they were good. But, you know, on a very primal basis, everybody in show business is desperate to say the Sally Field, famous Sally Field line from the Oscars. You like me. You really like me.
Did you know when you were a kid that you had this gift that you were funny?
Yeah, I worked in show business when I was a kid, and mainly in comedy shows. So I knew I could get work doing it. That much I knew. I worked for 8 years until my voice changed.
Yeah. Then when you went through the voice change and you thought, well, I just have to ride this out and I can go in a different direction maybe.
Yeah. I really thought I was gonna, you know, nice, thank you for that, but I'm gonna be a serious grown up. And then I tried it and I thought, anything but that.
Anything but that, huh? So you're getting the Ernie Kovacs Award.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think I read somewhere where you used to watch his NBC show, so that's kind of cool.
I watched his, I stayed home from school to watch his NBC daytime show, and then I was a huge fan of his ABC primetime shows. People who haven't seen him, there was a multi-disc DVD collection that came out 2 or 3 years ago. I was at the event in Hollywood to celebrate that. It's really worth watching. It's not what anybody I think might expect from that era of television. You have to put this in capital letters and big bold lettering. He was so far ahead of his time. You look at some of his stuff is like, you can see, well, this is where Letterman got his inspiration. The morning show is just a very loose half hour of screwing around in a television studio in front of an audience. But the later stuff, the ABC stuff, was really video art. He was just playing with television itself. And these are very carefully crafted little gems, many of them silent. But all of them really forcing, all of them really doing something that nobody does nearly enough of nowadays, which is remembering that television is a visual medium and it's not just pictures of people talking. he was really incredibly gifted and really, really funny.
Yeah, well, congratulations on that, and certainly congratulations on the Nixon piece. I know a lot of people are going to be looking for that. Nixon's the one. You too. You heard Harry say it. Harry, thanks for coming on the show.
My pleasure. Thank you. Kate.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
I will never forget the day my son Jeremy told me he hated me and slammed the door in my face. I'm behavioral therapist Janet Lehman. Behavior problems can turn the child you love and your life into a nightmare. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the step-by-step program that shows you how to fix the worst behavior problems and get your child to respect and listen to you again. No matter what the behavior, defiance, backtalk, angry outbursts, disrespect, we can help you stop it. Now you can get the Total Transformation for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. You can keep it forever for free.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now 1-888-912-1595. 1-888-912-1595. That's 1-888-912-1595. 1-888-912-1595.
Not just an alternative to the mainstream media. We're the premier independent talk radio network. We are GCN.
If you need to say happy birthday, happy anniversary, thank you, or simply I'm thinking of you, ProFlowers.com is the key. ProFlowers has stunning bouquets, like the best-selling 100 blooms for $19.99. Plus, ProFlowers will include a glass vase for free. Sending someone a wonderful surprise of beautiful flowers sent fresh from the field is easy. choose the bouquet you like, pick the delivery date, and each order is 100% guaranteed. Plus, all bouquets from ProFlowers are guaranteed to last at least 7 full days. Beautiful, fragrant flowers, picked fresh and sent to your loved one for lasting enjoyment. To get this incredible savings and send someone 100 gorgeous blooms with a free vase for $19.99, go to ProFlowers.com. Click the blue microphone in the top right corner and enter code PLOW. That's ProFlowers.com. Click the mic and enter code PLOW.
We live in a complicated society. Stressful issues are always popping up. Have you ever been treated unfairly by someone? Have you ever been overcharged for a repair? Have you ever signed a contract or a document? Worried about identity theft? How many times have you been in those unique situations where you just wanted to call an attorney to find out if you're right or wrong, or what your legal rights are? But every time you think about calling an attorney, what do you think about first? That's right. Who do you call, and how much will it cost? Our friends at Legal Shield have found a solution. With a nationwide network of 6,900 attorneys who average over 19 years of experience, Legal Shield's law firms take over 40,000 calls per week helping their members. For less than $20 per month, you can have access to Legal Shield on everything from the trivial to the traumatic. Let Legal Shield stand up for your rights at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com. Or call 855-340-SAVE. 855-340-7283.
Results will vary from case to case.
The experts at Web.com want to build your business a successful website for free, just like we did for these current Web.com customers.
We've used and looked at other website designers, but there's nobody better than Web.com.
Web.com can build your website in as little as 7 days free. Plus, we'll promote it on all the major search engines like Google, Yahoo, and Bing. If after 30 days you're happy, we'll continue to provide promotion, hosting, support, and maintenance, all for one low monthly fee. If not, cancel and pay nothing.
If you're in business today and you don't have a web presence, you won't be taken seriously.
Call right now and you'll also get a free .com or .net domain name for your new website powered by VeriSign, the world's leading domain name provider.
Call 800-297-0154. That's 800-297-0154.
No upfront charge for site build, after which ongoing fees apply. Rights to site are relinquished when canceled. Domain included during active service, after which fees apply.
That's 800-297-0154.
So here's a question. Do we need an Ebola czar? Some of you talked about that, actually. We're going to check the mail in just a second here on America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney. But before we get there, how about this? New England beats the Jets, but you know what the final score was? 27-25, so they barely beat the hapless Jets. Hey, a win's a win. That's Thursday night football, so finally CBS got an exciting game. Whew. The old network. And the Giants, with a dramatic finish to their series, they knocked out St. Louis, a walk-off win. So they're going to the World Series to face the Kansas City Royals. For all you people in Missouri and all you Californians, that's the matchup. Suddenly, people come out of the woodwork to root for the teams that they don't even know about because it's that pride of being in the area. And you certainly will find some of that in KC, and I think it's the same thing in San Francisco, too. Okay, on that note, it's not about pride, it's about Ebola. We're heading to the mailbag.
You have mail, mistress.
So this one from Tom, who says, Kate, Ebola czar? Who cares about an Ebola czar? How about somebody with some common sense rattling around in their head? I love this conversation that John McCain the other day suggests that we need to have somebody in that position. And they still, at this point, can't even figure out what went wrong in Dallas, other than to point fingers and say, well, we should have been more aggressive. I don't know that an Ebola czar helps anyway. They need a pinpoint person or someone they can pin it on, more likely. All right, thanks for that. This one from Wes, who says, Kate, I've listened to the show a couple of times. I'm starting to really get hooked onto it. I just travel a lot, and I live in Sarasota. That's my home base, and I'm starting to hear you, and I really have enjoyed it. So most of the conversation, the people calling the show were talking about Ebola. The first night I heard people, I thought they were wackadoodle. The second night I heard them, I thought, nah, they're not so crazy as I thought. The third night I listened, I heard some of the callers. I thought they made some pretty darn good points. This is life and death. Letting flights in is a mistake. Why would we possibly let a disease that somebody can develop and have no idea about come into our country, and how many people could they come in contact with? It's not a fear-mongering thing. I think it's a protection deal. And if Ebola is a test, we are failing miserably. What if some other sort of plague were to hit us? How would we handle that as a country? Well, the people in the medical profession I would be concerned about. Here's the thing. With the airlines flying in, how many people are sneaking onto flights, meaning they want to get out of one of the West African countries? And I've already been through this scenario. What would you do? Leave. And we know, because of people on the ground, that that's not a false thing to say. There are people that are just trying to get out of the country because they don't want to get it, or they think they might have it. It's the beginning stages. Let's get out of here. And that's the problem. Or they don't know they have it. So imagine however many people it is. They're near people on planes. They're near strangers wherever they're going. Then they're near family. And if they develop full-on Ebola, the bodily functions, the things that happen with vomiting and diarrhea, these are things with sweating. These are ways that people can contract Ebola. Those two nurses, if one's neck was exposed but everything else was covered up, you could say, well, it was only her neck, the tiny little side of her neck and the front of her neck, and she got Ebola in a hospital with everything sanitized eventually around them and all the gear you were supposed to have on. So they all did have the mask and the gloves and the double wrap of the clothing, and it didn't matter. It can easily, just in an instant, go down where someone has no clue that they've had that brush with Ebola, and they're not going to develop it right away. Then all of a sudden they have it. Enough people are in a situation where they're in the open. That's why in Dallas they're saying now to the healthcare worker, stay home, you're done. Don't get on public transportation. Why would they tell them don't get on public transportation? Because they're concerned. Cut yourself, wipe your hand on the seat, don't realize, whatever. Whatever could happen that you don't even think's happening. It could lead to somebody else contracting Ebola. Otherwise, those nurses wouldn't have gotten it, and certainly those people in West Africa. Why would so many get it? Because they're near the bodies that are riddled, that are dead with Ebola. Because somebody gets it and they're hiding them in the house, and then they use something they use and something that they wipe their forehead with or whatever it might be. So we get that. All right, move on to another one. This one from Jake. Katie baby. If you need someplace to go, you don't have to go and stay with Jack in Australia. Come down to Austin. You're in Dallas. It's closer. You just have to jump in the car. I have many a spare bedroom, and you can have it. It is yours. Not as many people in Austin are talking about Ebola, although it is frightening when you listen to what's being said, and then you hear of the other places where they think somebody might have Ebola, and they're testing people. And let's not forget about Spain, West Africa, the United States, France being concerned, thinking they may have some people with Ebola. It's a waiting game for this whole quarantine symptom thing anyway, and it's not an overnight deal, and that's probably part of the problem in diagnosing it. It's not necessarily easy to diagnose. Bing, bing, bing. Yeah, that's one of the biggest problems. You can't diagnose it that easy because of the incubation period where someone's been exposed. Could they have been exposed and not known it? I think that's the danger in the United States. Now, if we're in West Africa and people all around me are getting it, well, I would think in the back of my mind, there is a chance, no matter what I do, that I could get Ebola. In the United States, you're not thinking that. In Dallas, even ground zero, 10 miles away from the hospital where our satellite facility is, you're not thinking that necessarily. But what if you came in contact accidentally with somebody who had contact with Thomas Duncan, and they got Ebola, and they don't know it, and they're around. You get it. It's the 6 degrees of separation in a negative way. And you wouldn't necessarily have any clue that you have it. If you're the healthcare workers, you've seen two people catch Ebola and then be taken to other hospitals in the East Coast. And you're being sent home now, finally, and told, and you're waiting it out. You know that you could develop it. What about those other nurses that were close with Tom Duncan? It wasn't just those two nurses. There were plenty of people that were part of a team that treated him. And then what about the people treating the nurses? And what about Amber Vinson, who was on the plane, and they believe, they don't know for sure, but they think she may have had Ebola when she got on that plane. They don't know it for sure. And I'm thinking to myself, she went to a bridal shop and tried on gowns. I mean, you want to talk about stuff is touching your skin and you're pulling the gown off and you're trying on another gown and you're trying. I mean, they don't go and dry clean the gowns you try on for 3 minutes, and that's against your skin. And now this person has Ebola. I'm just saying, these are all things that you would not necessarily think about. A one little sweat droplet, a tear from your eye, wouldn't that be something? You know, you grab a tissue, you get emotional, you blow your nose, and something else, particles fly out, and it's on the dress. Now those dresses are put back in the rack. Who else comes in and tries on the dress? Have they tried on the dress that Amber Vinson had on? And it's not that far-fetched, because certainly that's how it could be transferred. All right, here's another one from Bobby, and Bobby says, Kate, did you hear this deal about ISIS and North Africa being warned? The State Department is saying American businesses in that area have a big chance of being attacked because of the airstrikes by the Boys in Black, as you call them, the Islamic State. And I think that's pretty scary. I think they're looking for places where the United States could be vulnerable, whether it's businesses or innocent people or whatever it might be, to try to get back at everything that's been going on. Yeah, the everything that's been going on is the airstrikes, because we don't have any boots on the ground, so that's what it is. And the airstrikes are starting to pinch ISIS, and it definitely has slowed their push onto Kobani. So that's a good thing in one sense, but do I think they're capable of retaliation when they say that in North Africa? Of course they're capable of retaliation. I think that was the whole idea of recruiting people from other nations, that they could send them back off like idiots, like dolts. Oh, yes, I'm going to go and hurt someone in my home country. Praise Allah, Allah Akbar, which is, I don't get that. I don't get how you're an American. The land of opportunity. Okay, we might be a little disenfranchised, but how disenfranchised are you that you're taking your passport and saying, I don't want to live in the United States. I want to go over and be with my brothers in the Islamic State and wreak havoc everywhere I can. And please get me on camera doing something terrible to somebody or having it in the background. And let's post that sucker all over the place. What is wrong in your head that you're doing that? What's wrong with that picture? Can't play a video game? Can't go hang out somewhere and do something else? Nah, I gotta join up with this ISIS crowd. This is pure evil. I gotta say, I have no eloquent way to say that, but it's just evil. And it's an evil, I'm sorry, I don't understand. But the more we get at ISIS, the more retaliation is a possibility. So the State Department is doing what it does best, posting on its website and telling people to be careful if they travel to North Africa, and warning businesses that there is a bit of a reach over there with ISIS. Coming up next, some financial information you can use.
What good is a big Berkey water filter?
We get that question a lot here at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And in a word, the answer is protection. protection from water main breaks, E. coli contamination, environmental chemical spills, pesticide runoff, chlorine taste and smell, and all forms of fluoride. Plus, Big Berkey water filters are the original gravity water filter system and most trusted on the market for a reason. Tested by multiple independent NSF EPA certified labs, they are the gold standard in water purification. At only 1.7 cents a gallon, a single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. That means big savings. Big Berkey, the one that's powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. Get a Big Berkey today at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. GCN listeners receive 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit our website or call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.
At 30dayfoodsupply.com, you can now purchase a one-of-a-kind product not available anywhere else, a meatless burger dry mix in four delicious flavors. With our new Oregon Trail Foods vegan burgers, all you do is add water and fry. They need no refrigeration. They're packaged in Mylar bags with an oxygen absorber for a long shelf life. They're non-GMO. They're gluten, soy, nut, and chemical-free, but they're loaded with flavor and a good source of carbs and protein, yet low in sodium. Flavors include Italian, spicy Mexican, six vegetable, and black bean olive. Go to 30dayfoodsupply.com or call 541-229-0010 and order today. Eat them every day. Take them camping or save them for an emergency. Check them out at 30dayfoodsupply.com and click on the vegan burger icon. That's 30dayfoodsupply.com, where all of our products are produced in Oregon by Oregon Trail Foods. 30dayfoodsupply.com.
The human body is extraordinary. Despite all the stresses we inflict upon it, it still works hard to stay in balance. Thousands upon thousands of people rely upon Heart and Body Extract to help their body stay balanced. This excellent 100% natural herbal formula helps maintain healthy blood pressure levels, cleans arteries, promotes good circulation, balances cholesterol, and more. HB Extract, paired with healthy lifestyle choices like good nutrition and exercise, can give you a life free of pain, sickness, and fear. Recapture your youthful vitality and experience your body healing itself with the aid of HB Extract. It's extremely effective and it starts working in just days. Visit HBExtract.com to learn more and to read scores of testimonials from satisfied customers. And we've never increased our price in over 10 years. That makes Heart and Body Extract as great a value now as it was the first day we sold it. A healthy heart is a happy heart. Call 866-295-5305 or go to HBExtract.com.
Check one two. I wanna control money and not let it control me. It's not the only goal goes to me, but it can help me pursue what I love to do.
Each and every week, we sit down and have a very frank and fun conversation, because it is fun, I think, with Steve Kelly, who is the free money guy. And man, have we learned a lot. And one thing that I certainly have been talking about among my own friends and other people is how much we don't realize we are not in control of, but we could take control of when it comes to our finances and what the retirement world is going to look like for all of us. And Social Security is a big, big thing. Steve, once again, good to talk to you. And you and I have talked about Social Security not a while, but this is the, there's a lot of misconceptions about Social Security, and you get folks together and you tell them really the real skinny on it, don't you?
Well, yeah, we have these workshops that we teach about every 2 to 3 months at colleges, local colleges around. And I just got done wrapping one up tonight. And you know, what often occurs to me during these things are sort of it surprises me every time I see it, is how many people walk into this whole thing, this retirement thing, thinking it's really a do-it-yourself deal, thinking that all they need to do is gather a little information here and a little information there, and then they can make financial decisions, oftentimes financial decisions that they have one crack at, like with Social Security, and oftentimes very simplistic decisions like I'm better off if I take it early because it's not going to be there later on for me, which is just, you know, it's a ridiculous presumption, and it's a trap, Kate. People do things based on emotions, based on limited knowledge, based on, frankly, ignorance, or things they hear from their friends or their barber or their bartender or whomever it is. Uncle Henry says something to you. And these are the inputs they use to determine how they're going to create the roadmap that they're going to have to live with for the next 30 years. And on the face of it, it's just ridiculous. And yet, so many people do that. One of the statistics that we talk about in the workshop is that over 70% of the people who elect Social Security do it without any outside guidance at all, and over 50% just go ahead and elect as soon as they can at age 62. And the result is that about $10 billion a year in additional benefits are left on the table. Mm. People are just walking away from that money because they don't know any better. And my industry is complicit in this because people that do what I do often do not bother to become skilled or schooled in these areas. A lot of people go to, for example, stockbrokers and think that they're getting a financial plan. And, you know, that monthly statement you get from your stockbroker every month is not a financial plan. It's a monthly statement. That's all it is. So what we're trying to do is we're trying to get people to understand, A, that this is a very complex technical thing that we do, and B, they have to look at Social Security, they have to look at their pension, they have to look at their investments. Each is part of a whole, and unless they get that whole picture together and working in coordination, each asset with the other asset, they're never going to get to where they want to be as comfortably and as abundantly as they could.
Yeah, well said. I like that, comfortably and abundantly. And you do a thing called the income planning pyramid.
You know, when I first started saving money 30 years ago or something, actually much longer than that, but we won't go there, my financial advisor brought out something he called the financial planning pyramid. And that financial planning pyramid, it's a pyramid shape, it's a triangle, and on the bottom, the broadest base of the pyramid was your fixed assets and your safety and security, and then you went up, and each item had additional levels of risk till you had things like, I don't know, derivatives and options and stuff up at the very point of the pyramid. Our take is a little bit different. We believe that we know, that the whole process of decumulation, in other words, spending your money, is much different than the process of accumulating your money, saving your money. So we've built this financial planning pyramid, and essentially what it is for is it creates the layers that you need to look at in the sequence you need to look at them in to build an efficient plan. First of all, to build an efficient plan, the first thing you always need to do is determine the need. You have to create your budget. And this is one place people get into traps. They think that somehow the need or the budget or the lifestyle is connected with the supply. And they're not. They're not connected at all. Now, obviously, you need the supply to feed the need, but they should never be planned together. You should first determine, what do I want my house to look like? What do I want my life to look like? How do I want my retirement to be? And then once we have that in place, we start filling in the supply for that picture underneath. The first thing being Social Security, because it's the one thing everybody has. Now the planning process becomes pretty easy. If you can visualize a bucket and the top of the bucket is the need, and it slants upward because we always put inflation in there. And then in the bottom of the bucket, you start seeing that fill up with the money, the supply. Now, the first thing we put in is we put in the Social Security. The next thing we'll look at is employer pensions. The next thing we'll look at is what we call personal pensions, and these are other income planning products, things like income annuities and things like that. We spoke a little bit about that before.
Mm-hmm.
Then we'll look at our taxes and things we can do to reduce or mitigate altogether taxes. And then at the very top of the pyramid, we have our savings. And the savings can be in the market or do whatever you want. But by doing this, what we do is we separate the income from the growth at the top. You need both, but you do not want to take your income out of the growth products. It doesn't work. Think about it like this. Right now, you're still in your earning phase, right?
Right, right.
Okay, so you have a source of income that comes to you regularly. But I'm sure you have money in the market. You have savings and so forth,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Now, how have you felt about this last week in the market?
It's terrible. Yeah.
Okay. You feel terrible about it now, even though you have an abundant supply of income coming in from a completely different source, right?
Right, right.
Now, imagine the person who's having to live on that money. All they have is that money in the market and perhaps Social Security. How do you think that person felt this week?
Yeah, it's right.
You see what I'm saying?
Yes, yes.
So our goal when we do an income plan is to restore that feeling of equilibrium you had when you had a source of income separated from that market holding. And unfortunately, what most people are told is just keep your money in the market and draw your money out of that. And that's a recipe for failure.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And confusion, failure, confusion. And there's nothing worse than being retired and being upset that now, what do I do now? You know, I could have stayed a couple extra years, or I didn't figure this out right. Who wants to go out that way? And you don't know how long you're going to live. You say it all the time.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
So that's the goal. That's the goal of the process, is restore that equilibrium. Provide your income out of what that no-so money we talked about last week.
Yeah.
And then now you're free to grow your hope-so money. I tell people all the time, hope-so money is not bad. I hope to have as much hope-so money as I can.
I just
don't want to live off of it, because living off of it, it's using the wrong tool for the wrong job.
Yeah, so well said. All right, so how can people get a hold of you?
Oh, okay. Thank you. Yeah, they can reach us at 844-4-FREE-MO. That's 844-4-FREE-MO. Or they can go online to freemoneyguys.com.
Yeah, so easy to remember that. Freemoneyguys.com. That is the best ever. Please tell me you trademarked that.
Oh, I did. Absolutely. It's registered and everything.
I love it. Perfect. Thank you so much, as always, Steve Kelly. We appreciate it.
It's always a pleasure. Thank you, Kate. We'll talk again next week.
With autumn in the air, it's time to think about getting ready for winter. And it's time to save at HerbalHealer.com. You'll find amazing seasonal savings to prepare you for the fight against cold and flu season. Like Oregacillin to promote lung health. 30 capsules, regularly $34.95, now only $25. HHA Olive Leaf, a natural antiviral, normally $16.95, now 60 capsules are just $12. HHA Elderberry Power, a great flu and virus fighter, regularly $16.95, 60 capsules. Now $10. Save on all our homeopathic detoxes. Choose from lungs, kidney, liver, brain, libido, or whole body. Normally $26.95, now just $20. Visit HerbalHealer.com and click on the Fall Winter Specials button to save on all our natural cold and flu fighting products. Also explore our Herbal Healer Academy correspondence courses that teach you how to handle your health naturally. HerbalHealer.com, healing the world with nature, one person at a time, since 1988.